they compare in age to you? The other women that you worked around?
The girl, the first one I worked, I think she might have been just a year or so older, but I don't know for sure. About my age, I would say. Some of them are younger. Mm-hmm. There were some women much older.
That's what I was curious about.
There were. Yeah, there were some women in the same area. I don't know if they were under the same leader, mm-hmm. but they were in their 50s, some of them.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. who would you spend time with on your breaks or at lunchtime? What would you do?
The girl I was working with, usually, I took my lunch mostly. Mm-hmm. We'd sit. They had a restroom with a sitting room. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'd sit there. Sometimes we'd sit at a bench. Mm-hmm. We only had a half hour. Mm-hmm. 10-minute break in the morning. We'd go down and have a cigarette, come back, and then a half hour lunch, and then back to work and home at 3:30.
And it was usually with whoever your partner was?
Yeah, mm-hmm, usually.
So it doesn't sound like you became too close to the other women in your...
You didn't have time to visit, mm-hmm. really. You worked. Mm-hmm. You didn't have time to go bugging around.
How did you arrange things in terms of your son and his schedule? And
It worked out fine because, you see, he was in school, mm-hmm. and I was off at 3:30, mm-hmm. and when I got home, he'd be in his room building model airplanes. Mm-hmm. Well, the first summer, he was kind of slow in reading and arithmetic. So through their mother's helps up there through Lockheed, I got in touch with a tutor. Hmm. So he had something to do every morning. He'd go to this tutor for reading and arithmetic.
Oh, I see.
And he had a bicycle, uh-huh. and she lived somewhere in North Hollywood, and uh-huh. I've forgotten where it was. But that kept him busy that summer. That was when he was 14. The following summer, when he was 15, I bought my gas from a service station down here on Chandler and Hollywood Way, Mr. Primes, and I said, I've got a boy. Do you need a boy to help you in your service station? He said, well, not really. I might be able to use one. Can he drive? I said, no, he isn't old enough yet. Oh. I said, I'm working and I don't like him to be home all summer alone. If you could just give him any kind of work to do. He said, send him down, I'll talk to him. And he put that boy to work. I think he paid him 40 cents an hour. And that's where that boy got his start in mechanics. Because this Mr. Primes, he ran the service station, there was a man there running a garage right with it. And my son got acquainted with the garage man, and he learned mechanics, and he stayed there all summer, 40 cents an hour, and he was delighted.
Now, you say you took your car there for servicing. Did you you drive to work yourself, or did you?
I couldn't. I didn't have enough gas to drive to work. I rode with Johnny for a while. Then Lockheed had this where you pay somebody to pick you up and take you. How much was it? $1 a week. Mm-hmm. And I did that for a while. Then that wasn't satisfactory. Finally, there was a bus that came by Burbank. It was right to Lockheed. I'd get up there and get the bus. I had to leave home earlier. I got up there earlier in time to get breakfast at the cafeteria before I went to work, and it worked out real well.
Now, we're still at Vega, though.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
What about the other women in the neighborhood? Were any of them working at Lockheed or in defense industries?
Dottie over here on the next street, she worked nights. Johnny the man, he worked on defense. I don't know of any others.
Doesn't sound like too many of them.
Not right here. Not right on this street.
You mentioned before something about what the women did during the war in the neighborhood.
Oh, well, I don't know whether it was about once a month, I think, we'd get together and we would make things for the Red Cross and things like that. And the women in the neighborhood got very close, and we'd have little sociables about once a month in the evening at somebody's house. Mm-hmm. And it was real nice.
Were most of the husbands off in the service in the neighborhood?
No, I don't know what they were doing, working. Mm. I know my husband's best friend that he talked into moving out here, he was still with the railroad. He stayed with the railroad. He had a wife and three children.
I was just curious in terms of how it was that the women happened to come together during the war.
I don't know.
The men were away or not.
I don't know. I don't know how that happened. Somebody just got started doing it, I guess, and it was fun. And whether it was their own individual crafts that they were working on, or whether it was for the Red Cross, I'm not too sure about that even.
This was a pretty dramatic change in your life now, with your husband going. You weren't too happy about that. Going to work at the plant. How did it seem to change your life during that period? You were on your own again.
Yes, I was.
What did all that seem like for you?
Well, some of it seemed very hard. When it came time when you had to have your tires checked, you couldn't buy new tires, and if they needed to be recapped, they better be done now. I put it off until the very last minute. That's where I got acquainted with Mr. Primes up there. He said he'd take care of it for me. So that worked out. But then I had to apply for gas rationing. And it all depended on how far you had to go to work. Well, I clocked it 2 miles from here to up there. I was allowed 4 gallons a week. And I couldn't drive. I had a Dodge. Couldn't drive every day on 4 gallons a week. Couldn't do it. So Johnny, he had a bigger job up at Lockheed, and he got more money, more gas rationing, so he could drive. Mm-hmm. So he'd take me. And we just got along that way somehow. Then I'd beg or borrow a seasicker from Chuck. That was my husband's friend on the next street. And that would put some gas in my car. And we just got by trading off like that, you know.
By the way,
there were more. The boy next door was in service. He was in the Air Force. I remember that now. I've forgotten about that.
Because very often, I think in a lot of neighborhoods, so many of the husbands.
You mind if I smoke?
That the women became much closer during that period.
We did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you like some coffee or something?
No, thank you. Now, so it sounds like one of the problems was just because of the difficulties of the wartime shortages, etc., just managing on your own, having to do everything.
Yes, because financially, it was great. I mean, I was earning my own money. My husband was sending $100 a month home. I was making payments on the house. I was making big payments on the house. I paid off the second mortgage, and I got to work on the first mortgage, and we had this thing paid off in less than 5 years.
Mm.
From the money he sent home, I plastered it into the house.
Now, were you making just larger payments at the time, or were you saving some too?
I was making larger payments because we would have a penalty. If we paid it off in less than 5 years, we had to pay a penalty on the balance. So I was making great, huge payments. When we finally paid it off, I think it was a little over $100 that we had to pay a penalty on.
Uh-huh.
See?
And
it worked real well.
Were you saving at the same time, or were you plowing all into the house payment?
Most of it into the house, but we were saving a little. Mm-hmm. I saved a little because shortly after the war, we were able to pick up a car from a friend of my husband, had one for sale, $1,000 cash I withdrew from the bank. I had that much saved.
Were you buying bonds during the period?
Did I buy any bonds? I think just a very few.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that they were taken out of my paycheck. Now, maybe they were. Oh dear, my memory is not that good. Maybe. I don't remember. I really don't.
Now, what happened at work? You were there about almost 3 years.
I was there exactly 3 years.
And what, did you change jobs at all during the period?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This number 4 bulkhead for the B-17 was transferred up to Bakersfield.
Mm.
Then they put me on just plain riveting, up and down on a great big section. And I'd either be riveting or bucking. The bucker be inside, the riveter outside. And, there were several dramatic things happened in my life in between time. My mother passed away. And I was getting very tired from working. And I was very worried about my husband over in the Pacific. And I was down to 104 pounds. And it got so I couldn't get up and go to work in the morning. And I was missing anywhere 2 out of 6 days, maybe more. And it was a different lead man. Finally, I went to work one morning, and he says, well, you're not here steady enough to be on this. Well, it was too hard for me anyway. So he put me to work with a Negro girl installing some kind of a bracket inside. And I did that for a while. I was still not feeling good. And I kept talking about wanting a leave of absence. And they said, well, you can't get a leave of absence unless you get a doctor's note. So I had my doctor I'd been going to, and I went up to him and I said, doctor, I need to rest. I said, I'm so tired. I thought I had heart trouble. My heart would pound like this at night. And I thought I was getting my mother's heart trouble. That's what she died from. He said, well, the different things that you've been complaining about. He says, I think maybe you entering menopause. I says, I can't. I'm only 36. He says, age doesn't have too much to do with it. So he says, how long do you want? 2 weeks? I said, well, I don't know whether 2 weeks will rest me up or not. So he says, okay. And so he signed it, and that's what he put on there. Needs a leave of absence on account of menopause, symptoms of menopause. So I got my, he says, I'll have to see you in 2 weeks. So I said, fine. I went back in 2 weeks. He says, you ready to go to work? And I said, not yet. Okay, another 2 weeks. So I was off 2 weeks. I didn't work on that straight up and down riveting or the bracket very long because I just wasn't able. I was just play out. But that month straightened me out. And then when I went back, they put me on easy work, real easy work. And every once in a while, if they needed somebody to buck a rivet, they'd say, Harriet, do you feel you can stand long enough to buck these rivets for this girl?
Were they being facetious or
what? No, they were being very kind, very. They wanted to keep their employees because there would be so many women that would quit because they couldn't take it.
What, when you say easy work, what was it that you would be doing?
On a bench. Oh. I'd be reaming out, burring holes and attaching little nuts and bolts together.
So it was basically almost small
sample bench work. Bench work. Once in a while, they would ask me if I could get up and help this girl. Oh, I had one girl, very nice friend, that she worked in the same section. She used to spend weekends with me once in a while.
Now, that work, you'd be able to visit more while you were doing that work, wouldn't you?
Although you weren't sitting too close, maybe you wanted to be that far away, but they weren't hurrying me. After I went back, that was in... my mother died in January of 43, so this was later on in 43, probably early spring of 43, was when I took the leave of absence, and then I went back to work, and I didn't need to take any more time off after that.
And how large was that department? How many of you were under one leave when you were doing that bench work?
I don't know. I don't remember. It seemed like there were a lot of them.
Yeah.
Was in the same area, was on the same balcony.
I see.
And so the whole balcony, I don't know how it was divided up, you see.
And you were, but you did become friendly with one of the other women in that group.
Yes. Yeah. She used to be a school teacher in South Dakota, and she came out here and she worked at Lockheed. I think I've seen her once or twice just since we quit working there.
And did she live in the
She lived
area?
In Burbank,
And but so she was a single woman. She wasn't someone with a
No, she was a single. She was single.
And what was happening, you were indicating before that you were very concerned your husband was in the South Pacific. How often would you hear from him?
Well, sometimes I'd get two or three at a time, and maybe there'd be a week go in between times of hearing from him. But they came through pretty well, but there was a lot of things he couldn't say. The first letter I ever got from him that was censored, they just cut little holes all over his letter. And, of course, I cried. I just was heartbroken. The government's got my husband. He's not mine anymore. That was what I felt like.
Did you talk about the war and what was going on and your concerns with other women at work whose husbands were overseas?
Oh, yes. Yes. I was looking so bad and looking so thin. One woman says, Harriet, what's the matter with you? I said, well, my husband's right out there in the thick of it, and I don't know what's going to happen to him. And she said, my dear, you know, you can't help him by worrying. And those kind of things would be talked over up there quite a bit. One woman lost her son. She didn't lose him in battle. She lost him in Australia. He was riding a horse and got thrown from a horse. He was on leave. She said, thank goodness he was doing something he wanted to do, but she lost her son anyway. So we just talked like that to different people.
You mentioned that before you took your leave of absence, you were working with the black women in the brackets. Were there very many?
Quite a
Mexican women working there?
Well, I wasn't close to one other little black girl that was just shoved around from one place to another because she wouldn't work. And I had contact with her once, and she blasted at me when I said, why don't you get to work? And she let off some string of words. But this one that they put me to work with, she was beautiful. She wasn't homely, but she was a beautiful person. But the first day, I had never worked close to colored people before, never. I'd never had any physical contact with them. So and I guess she was upset and nervous too. The first day, we had a terrible time trying to get the rivets in right. We'd have to drill that out and put it in, and drill it out and put it in, and wouldn't get in there right. But she was a big husky girl. And we finally got so we could work together, and she would do all the heavy work. See, before I had my leave of absence, I was skinny. She'd say, oh, honey, you can't lift that. You let me lift it. And so she'd hold this thing in place while I drilled the hole, say. And she was, and I kept in contact with her all the rest of the time I was up there, too. If she happened to come by my section, we'd stop and talk, and she showed me pictures of their house, and her husband was a elevator operator downtown somewhere, and they owned a lovely home. She showed me pictures of it, beautiful, somewhere down in L.A. And she was buying furniture for their new home. And
you remember Mexican women working around you at all?
No, I don't. I don't remember any. Not any. But that one black girl, she was just, her name was Rosie.
Who, for instance, at lunchtime or during the breaks, would she spend time with all the other women, or would she be?
Yeah.
So they did mix.
At first, when I saw her working with the other partner, before I went to work with her, I saw her sitting and having lunch and refreshments with the other white girl she'd been working with, and I thought, how can they be so friendly? Because I was not used to being around this. But then when I went to work with her, I thought he was punishing me for putting me to work with a black woman, but that was not so. Because then I would sit and eat lunch with her because she was just a nice person.
So it sounds like she was one of very few black women, though, working in
She was the only one that I was close in close contact with. There were others around, I suppose. I didn't pay too much attention. You know, when a place is so noisy, you don't visit.
Did you stay on the bench work then the whole time that you were, the rest of the time?
No. Then finally, they brought the Constellation over from B-1, Lockheed B-1, they brought over. We were still Vega, I believe, but they brought part of the Constellation assembly. They brought the tail assembly over. And so the last several months I was there, I worked on the tail assembly of the Constellation. You know, that's the one with the three tails.
Right. And you
I worked on the trailing edge.
And you were still doing riveting and
talking. And I was, by that time, reading blueprints.
How did you learn to read the blueprints?
Just by looking at them. Working with them. The lead man would help. Of course, I was accused of being passing to the lead man by the girl that was working with me because he and I'd go over the blueprints and we'd decide, well, we had to have a certain kind of a bucking bar to get in where we were supposed to go, and we'd talk it over. And then I got a raise, a bigger raise than she did. She found out about it. He told me not to tell her, but she found out about it. She says, well, I know how you got your raise, being Patsy with a lead man. But we weren't. We were working on the thing.
Well, once you were reading blueprints, does that mean that you were reclassified?
No. Now, I didn't read them he and I would read them together. I wasn't in charge of reading blueprints. Mm-hmm. We would just look at the blueprint. Mm-hmm. It was such an intricate assembly that they had to send the men over from B1 plant to show us how to do it and to bring some of their tools, their bucking tools, because it was quite a very intricate thing. That trailing edge had to be absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. It couldn't be warped in any way. And it was quite a job getting it to where it's supposed to be.
How long did you work on that particular job then?
I must have worked on that, I quit in October of 45. I must have worked all that year, mm-hmm. probably about 8-9 months on that.
Did your husband get any leaves at all?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was gone 2 years straight. Mm-hmm. From October 42 until October 44, he came home, and he was home. He had a 30-day leave, and then he was in Camp Parks for November, December, January, 3 more months. He left in February of 45. Mm-hmm. He left in February 45 mm-hmm. out of to go to Okinawa, and he was in Okinawa then when the war was over.
Were you able to take time off when he...
Lockheed was beautiful that way. When he was at Camp Parks, he was chief by that time. He made chief. And he and some of the other chiefs, they contacted their wives, and we'd drive up to San Jose. They'd come over from Hayward to San Jose, and we'd spend the weekend there in a hotel mm-hmm. and go to dinner together and mm-hmm. so on. Then the women would come home. And any time when I said my husband wants me, time off.
Hmm.
Just no trouble. Mm-hmm. And when he was home that month in October of 44, I was given a whole month off.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And that would be the standard practice for women whose mm-hmm. husbands were in the service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you were, you said earlier in terms of the union that you didn't, one of the reasons that you didn't join was that you figured you were going to work just for the war and that was going to be it.
That's right. Just
as the war was drawing to a close, say, even at VE Day, what was your thought about what was going to happen in terms of your job?
I knew I would be able to quit just as soon as my husband got home. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
because when he wrote, and see, they came home by numbers, depending on their age and how long they'd been there and what they'd done, they came home by numbers. And he wrote and told me his number was coming up and then he would be coming home at such and such a date. That day, I went into the office and said, terminate me, my husband's coming home.
Mm-hmm.
Then I came back to my section and one of the girls said, well, you're silly to terminate now before the 1st of October, because if you work till the 1st of October, you'll get your vacation pay, which were week's vacation pay. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, that's right. She says, he won't be home before then, will he? I says, oh, I don't think so. So then I trips back to the office, and I says, hold my termination papers until after the 1st of the month. So they did.
Now, there must have been massive layoffs by that point, though.
I don't remember that there were. I don't remember that there were. I was so anxious to get out of there and get home.
Because it would be after VE Day and then after VJ Day.
Yeah. Well, this was VJ Day, of course.
So you don't, it doesn't, there weren't people around you being laid off before you terminated.
Not that I am conscious of.
Uh-huh.
Not that I'm conscious of at all. The neighbor down here on the next street that worked at Lockheed, I think she went to work either before the war or during the war.
Mm-hmm.
She worked there until she retired.
Mm-hmm.
She's about my age.
Mm-hmm.
So there weren't big layoffs mm-hmm. that I know of. I think people just quit.
Yeah.
As their men would come home, they'd quit. Because I think that a good share of the women up there had either sons or husbands in the service.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me put in a new tape and we'll talk about...